The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Discipleship.ca. My name is Steve, and with me today is the illustrious...
Kevin.
Hardy.
I don't say my last name now.
I feel like you got to say your last name. Otherwise, it's like...
I'm throwing you off.
The despicable me, like, Kevin!
There's a lot of Kevins in the cartoons.
Yeah, there's a lot. That's true. There's a lot of Steves as well. Steve's usually like the bad guy. Usually. It's not good. Anyway, thanks for joining us as we have another discussion with the hope, prayer, and goal of encouraging you in your daily walk of faith and journey towards Christ's likeness as we explore scripture, faith, and Christian life, as well as talking about what Jesus is teaching us on our journeys of faith. And again, you are joining us during our Apostles' Creed journey, and we are looking at statement number 7, which is the third day he rose again from the dead. So we ended last week with was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades, hell, Sheol, whatever word you have in your tradition there. But now we've got this 3-day journey in the grave that comes to the resurrection. So I like the resurrection.
I'm a big fan.
I am a fan of the resurrection. It is a big part of our hope.
Yeah.
Just so you know, Jesus said that he would rise again on the third day a few times. Yeah. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, Mark chapter 9, verse 31, Luke 9, verse 22, John 2, verse 19, and then again in 1 Corinthians 5, 3 and 4, it says he rose again on the third day. Yeah. So this is a kind of a promise, prophecy, from Christ himself. This is an early truth that is being held on to by the early church, by the Apostle Paul, by the other apostles. And really, this is our hope. The hope is the resurrection, right? Yeah. On the cross, Jesus defeats sin, but we still have this problem with death. Yeah. And death has to be... we have to be afforded a way out of death as well.
Yeah.
So with that, what nuggets of wisdom did you dig up for us this week, Kevin?
Well, 1 Corinthians 15, as we looked at last week again, you know, kind of the earliest form of a Christian creed or a summary of these things.
Yeah, yeah.
And then really chapter 15 goes through the resurrection. If you want to just walk through some scripture on that, you can go to 1 Corinthians 15, 1-28. And then you come to the end of 1 Corinthians 15 and you hear those famous words, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?
Yeah.
The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So either that's true or it isn't.
Right.
Is death been conquered by Christ?
Yeah, yeah.
And if it hasn't, we're in trouble. Paul says in verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins.
Yeah.
So if some of these rumors, like we talked about in the last episode, if some of these rumors that, you know, that wasn't really Jesus' body, that they took off the cross,
or
they stole his body out of the tomb, you know, if we find Jesus' body, find his bones, you know, find his, you know, a tomb that, like we're in trouble.
Yeah.
But the biblical evidence is just overwhelmingly points us to this reality that he rose from
dead. In faith, we are quite literally the only world religion, Christian faith, where we don't go to the grave of our founder. There isn't one.
Doesn't work.
Doesn't work. We don't have one because he is alive.
Yeah.
He sits in, Hebrews tells us, he sits in at the right hand of God the Father, sitting on the mercy seat at the throne of glory, interceding on our behalf, yeah, waiting for the moment that God the Father says, go get him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Matthew 28, Acts 1:8, yeah, giving his final commission and then ascending into heaven. Yeah.
So we get to the resurrection. So we got, yeah, these 3 days, right?
Yeah.
So there's these 3 days, and we talked about that, yes, last week in the descent into statement. But now we're looking at on the third day he rose again. And there's a couple things that we have to understand, right? This is something that Jesus himself, as we said right off the bat, he said he was going to do. So now, yeah, all of a sudden we've got this problem because, or it has to happen, yeah, in this way,
yeah,
or Jesus is a false prophet,
yeah,
or he's a liar.
Yeah.
So the third day resurrection has to happen. Mm-hmm. It shows Jesus as a unique case, right? That he was able to rise from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus is a unique, special event, right? He returns in this reality, like even as you get through some of the resurrection stories where he reveals himself to people. People who knew him well didn't quite recognize him until, yeah, he determined that it was time for them to recognize him,
yeah,
right? One of my favorite stories is, you know, Peter on the boat with the guys and they're fishing, and, you know, some guy comes along on the shore and is like, hey, how's the fishing going?
Want some breakfast?
Horrible. The fishing is going, yeah, horrible. Yeah. Okay, well, throw your net on the other side of the boat.
Yeah.
And I can just imagine the you know, the guys are being like,
are you kidding? Yeah.
There's no way that this is going to work. Yeah. We're just tired of that guy on the beach asking us questions. Just throw the net on, yeah, the other side of the boat. Let's get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
So they do, and they catch.
Let's humor this guy.
Yeah. They catch an enormous amount of fish that are breaking the net. I don't have the account right in front of me, but they even count right down to the number of fish, right?
Yeah.
Like, here is the number of fish we caught. We were catching nothing, and we got this, which means, oh yeah, they kept those fish and took, yeah, them to market, kind of thing.
Big time.
But then Peter realizes, oh, that's Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he books it right off the end of the boat to go get him. And what I love about that, that resurrection story, when Peter finally realizes,
yeah,
who Jesus is, this is the second time that Peter has jumped out of a boat, right? Yeah. He's, yeah, on his way to go to Jesus. And the last time he sunk because,
yeah,
he took his eyes off Jesus.
Yeah.
And now after the denials, he's never taking his eyes off Jesus again. He's about to get reinstated and told what his life is going to be like. And he still doesn't take his eyes, yeah, off Jesus. But he goes right off the boat. There's no getting ready. He's just booking it. Like, he's going. Work clothes and everything, right? So, yeah, I love that uniqueness of Jesus being able to return,
mm-hmm,
and reveal himself in a new way. Like, yeah, there's something quantitatively different,
yeah,
about the Jesus that resurrects,
yeah,
to the Jesus that they knew a mere,
yeah, yeah,
3 days before, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It confirms Jesus' credibility, right? Yeah. He said he was going to rise after 3 days, so he rises,
yeah,
right? Like, he does what he says he's going to do, which also means he does the rest.
And they see him numerous times over, yeah, a month, yeah, to, and, yeah, and various, usually, and usually
different groups, yeah, different groups of, yeah, people. And
but up to how many? 500?
Yeah, 500. 500
witnesses.
Yeah.
Like, one of the theories against Christ rising is, you know, well,
yeah,
people were hallucinating. These weren't actual sightings. You weren't actually eyewitnesses, you know, all these different groups attesting, yeah, to the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not really how hallucinations work.
Yeah. It's, you know, Chuck Swindoll,
yeah,
and the Watergate scandal in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's on record as having said, like, there was like four people or three people.
Yeah.
It's not very many.
Yeah.
Less than the disciples,
yeah,
in on the Watergate scandal. And, yeah, we couldn't keep that live for 5 days together, yeah, or whatever,
yeah,
it was. It's like,
I mean,
a
totally,
week.
Yeah.
It's like a week. And he's like, you're telling me that 11 guys were willing to go their whole lives and to death.
To death, to torture some of them.
And never break.
Yeah.
If it was a lie, that, yeah, was the best kept lie.
Yeah. And for ever. And for their stories to line up in the ways that they do, and how the gospels harmonize together. All these things.
Yeah.
Like, there isn't, again, this isn't the only reason I'm a Christian, but I haven't heard a good argument against the resurrection. Like,
yeah,
like,
no,
like, they're just,
well, and I mean, we hang our hope in the resurrection.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if Jesus dies on the cross and rectifies the issue of sin,
yeah,
we are still doomed to die.
Yeah. It's over.
And now we've got, like, we're dead. We, like, the eternity future,
yeah,
depends on the resurrection of totally, Christ. Totally. Right?
And like you said, this, you know, we said this earlier, even, you know, the, when we talked about Pilate, you know, that, that roots the creed and roots the, yeah. the Christian faith in history,
a real historical and, place
and
time.
Yep. And this is the same thing, the third day
yep.
During this reign of yep. Pontius Pilate, you know, so it shows that it's a fact of history. Yeah. On this precise day in Jerusalem, the capital of Palestine, Jesus came alive and vacated a rock tomb, and death was conquered for all time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, even in the midst of all of this, right, in this crucifixion narrative, mm-hmm. I've read, and again, I know, I'm notorious for remembering things and not having them
That's
in front
okay.
of me. So this is, here we go again.
That's normal.
Fact check me if I'm wrong. Just let me know. But on the crucifixion day, they needed Jesus to be dead before the Jewish festival of Passover was to start. Mm-hmm. And then the resurrection and from the dead is when it's over, if I remember correct, which is why the disciples and the ladies were so quick to go to the
yeah.
grave that day, because the ceremonial uncleanliness and all of that kind of stuff. But Jesus' crucifixion, death, and burial, and then resurrection matches the Passover festival
yeah.
with the sacrificial
yeah, the
lamb.
The timing, all of it. Yeah,
for the people of Israel. So you realize you've got this the story of Old Covenant, New Covenant, unwrapping at the same time.
Yeah.
So I've had
people... Kind of like it was planned.
Yeah. And I
by
had,
God.
Yeah, exactly. But I read, right, like when that temple veil was torn,
yeah,
that's when the priest would have been preparing to do the sacrifice. So could you imagine being in your holy place to prepare for your biggest celebration of the year?
It's intimidating.
And it falls
as
apart.
It is.
And yeah. it falls apart yeah. at that moment. You're yeah. just like, I wrecked it.
Yeah.
Like, what did I do?
Yeah.
And this is what Jesus was doing, was he was orchestrating all of that together so that when the resurrection occurs, people would be like,
yeah.
oh, I get it.
Yeah.
He literally did what he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
Like, he said he was going to come back.
Yeah.
He just went somewhere that
I'm going to destroy.
You can't come back from, but yet he came back.
Yeah, the temple's going to be destroyed and I'm going to raise it up
yeah.
in 3 days.
Yeah.
And now that makes sense.
The temple, totally. And that 3 day, that yeah. 3 day thing, right? Yeah. There's yeah. the sign of Jonah.
Yeah.
Where Jesus even says, like, he will live under the sign of Jonah. Well, what's this 3 day deal with Jonah? Jonah's swallowed by the great fish,
yeah.
barfed out on land 3 days later
yeah.
to save the people of Nineveh.
Yeah.
Jesus is swallowed up by death,
yeah.
resurrected 3 days later
yeah.
to save the people of the world.
To bring life.
Right? To bring life.
And the temple curtain being torn. Now the Spirit of God is going to live where? In
yeah.
his people. It's beautiful, this yeah. this life out of death. It's incredible.
Yeah, and we briefly said that whole three-day deal where it's not actually necessarily 72 hours. Rabbi Eliezer ben Araza, in the year 100 AD roughly, mm-hmm. Wrote, "A day and a night make a whole day, and a portion of a whole day is reckoned as a whole day."
There you go.
So in the counting of Jewish time, if yeah. you have to, and they use this a lot in like debt payment.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. Like if you had 5 days to pay a debt,
yeah.
Any portion of a day, and remember that a Hebrew day starts at sunset,
yeah.
right? Not at midnight. Like we can figure whenever the sun goes down, that's the start
yeah,
of the new
start
day.
The Sabbath, yeah.
So
yeah.
that's the start of the new day.
Yeah.
So as long as you make it in, if you get to the third day, you're fine. But when the sun sets, you
yeah.
the count has
yeah.
gone
it's reset.
Forward, right?
Yeah.
Which is also why in Scripture you get so many references to what watch of the day it is.
Yeah.
They want you to know whether the sun is up or down, right? What day are we on here?
Yeah.
And that's something for us to remember as well as when we read these things is the information of how many days
yeah.
matters.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. No, and this is the point of... This is the point of the creed where we all have to kind of reckon with this.
Yeah.
That's why the resurrection, that's where we go in our apologetics. That's where we go, you know, when we want to, you know, talk with a skeptic or when you're talking, for me, talking with you students that have questions about
yeah.
the faith, I start there. Even just last night, we were talking about the reliability of the Bible. So I'm like, well, let's look at Jesus first. Okay. Jesus, if Jesus is who he says he is, what did Jesus say about the Bible? And, you know, if Jesus rose from the dead, right. All these things, right? So we tie everything to the resurrection. So you have to come to grips with the tomb being empty. And then you look at all the evidences and all the arguments. Was his body stolen? All this stuff. Again, it doesn't really hold water. Then you see his presence with the disciples. You see the transformation of those disciples who were aware while all this was going down, when the crucifixion was happening. They're bolting. They're running. Again, as Jesus foretold. Told them to their faces while he's having dinner with
them.
This
is going to happen.
You guys are going to abandon me. You know, you're going to run away. Yeah. Peter, you're going to deny me. No way, Jesus. And then they're all running. They're all free. Even when Jesus appears to them, they're hiding. Generally, in a few of those instances, they're worried what's going to happen to them. And then you see how the transformation in our lives. You see that we're still talking about this today. It's 2024. We're going to go to church on Sunday. We're going to sing praise to him. We're going to open the word. We're going to preach the word. We're going to, in some of our churches, recite this creed.
Yep.
We're going to say these very words and say, this is what our faith is built
exactly.
on. So you got to reckon with that. Where is the weight of the evidence? And man, we can't go through all of it here, but just dig into some of these things. Go read The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel or some of the other books that are kind of a popular level.
Yeah. A great journey. If you've never encountered that book, Lee Strobel was a journalist who was challenged to look at the claims of Christianity.
And he was going to disprove this.
He was going to disprove it and publish it in the Chicago Tribune and just end this whole deal of Christianity. And now he's a Christian.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
now he's an apologist for the faith.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and that's just one of many. And I mean, there's so many other good books you could look at. But.
Yeah. So on the cross, Jesus takes the punishment for our sin.
Yeah.
And at the resurrection, which is a massive demonstration of power from God. The cross becomes the payment for our sin, but the empty tomb becomes the receipt. He's not dead, right?
The check cleared.
The sin sacrifice and sin atonement is complete, but the grip of death does not hold onto Jesus. So the idea that God's son could be bound by death is crazy. So really, when we start to think about it, the resurrection is the inevitable outcome, even though nobody at the time understood that.
Yeah.
And we in our time frame arrogance can look back and go, oh, I don't know how they didn't get that. But, right, like it would have made no sense at all. But this is why we always hear them, the death, burial, and resurrection.
Yeah,
that's you hear those all together because the cross starts it.
Yeah.
And the resurrection finishes that defeat of sin and death, which is the hope of all believers, right? We put our hope in Jesus, but for a very clear and specific purpose, for the hope of the future eternity with God the Father, right? And we want that. So that cross, we begin to look at it and realize that the cross is the payment for the sins, and the empty tomb is the proof that it worked.
Yeah.
Like what Jesus said he was going to do is what he did.
Yeah. And then the creed adds the ascension, which we'll get into the next episode, but they're all there. You know, Christ is now ruling and not to jump ahead, but they're all
I get excited about all those and then the return. There's the ascension and then the return,
totally.
Right?
Yeah.
And I tell my church all the time,
that's what we're looking to.
There is a generation of people that will not taste death.
Yeah.
And they look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, "Well, Jesus comes back. If you're alive, you don't die."
Yeah.
You just bypass death.
Yeah.
I'm like, that sounds like a good deal.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what the end of my life looks like.
Yeah.
But if there's suffering and pain, please Jesus come back first.
Yeah.
Like that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
To be alive in that moment. And so many believers don't have that hope because they don't have a good understanding of what the crucifixion, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and then the ascension and then the return mean. That's why this creed has been with us for 2,000 years, basically.
We shouldn't have a weak view of these things.
No.
Like actually looking at how this is all encompassing, it gets back to what we talked about in the last episode of giving us this hope in death Like, and again, not this weird like obsession with it, but it does change your view, and it should. Myers brought out some beautiful stuff talking about the ancient church. He says, in the ancient church, the message of Christ's triumph over death produced some peculiar attitudes toward death.
Yeah.
Believers would assemble for prayer in tombs. They would worship Christ among the bones of the dead.
Yeah.
I haven't had done any services in a tomb.
No, not high on my priority list.
But he says believers would raise the bodies of martyrs in the air, parade them through the streets like trophies. Kind of strange. At funerals, they would gaze lovingly over the dead and sing psalms of praise over their bodies. Such behavior shocked their pagan neighbors, and rightly so. According to Roman law, the dead had to be buried miles away from the city so that the living would not be contaminated.
Yep.
But Christians placed the dead right at the center of their public gatherings. The earliest church buildings were really just big mausoleums erected over the remains of the martyrs. The tombs of the saints were, in the words of John Chrysostom, tombs with life, tombs that give voice.
Yeah.
He also says one more thing. When new believers were preparing for baptism, they would gather in the presence of the dead and they would receive instruction in the ancient catechism. Even today, the Apostles' Creed makes the most sense when you imagine the words echoing among the bones of the catacombs. The creed is marked everywhere by an unflinching acceptance of the facts of human mortality, coupled with a straightforward confidence in the ultimate triumph of life, a triumph that has already happened once for all in the person of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Again, it gives us this beautiful hope in midst of suffering and death. Even just the other day, my wife and I were talking about cancer and people that are dealing with these things. We all know somebody that's has cancer, is dealing with cancer, has died from cancer or other sicknesses and diseases, and just the stuff that one day I might have to face myself.
Yeah.
And she's just like, oh man, that's so hard on that family, or why did it have to go this way? And I'm just like, that's the effects of sin and death. Like it's real.
Yeah.
We all die. We all have to come to grips with that.
Yeah. The decay of death.
What are you going to do with it?
And
again, the Christian hope, the Christian faith gives us this unflinching hope that, man, I hope in the resurrection. I hope in that.
Well, we hope in the conquest, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
This sin and death have been defeated.
Yeah.
They are no more.
Yeah.
It is.
That's true, or it isn't.
It is but a speed bump that we have to get through on our journey to the everlasting eternity with God the Father. And this is where, you said the robust understanding, the robust theology, that trust in the truth of the Scripture, this is where when you fear death, you can't have the right view of what Jesus has done.
You're missing now, something.
Do I want to die? No. Do I live recklessly and want my days to end sooner? No.
No.
I've got kids that are in the age where they're starting to get married, and I want to see grandkids, and like there's lots.
You want to live a full life.
Yeah. There's lots to look forward to.
Yeah.
If Jesus takes me home, I'm going home.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's great.
and that's, my wife and I, you guys hear Teresa all the time in our Psalms episodes and the Tuesdays and Thursdays, and at the start of this one she read the Apostles' Creed. We tell each other all the time that we're the best second choice we've ever made, right? Like we'll pick Jesus every time. If it's between my wife and Jesus, I'm picking Jesus.
Yeah.
If it's between my job and Jesus, I'm picking Jesus.
Yeah.
And the reason is He is the hope for eternity.
He's it.
He is everything. There is, like, apart from Jesus, the world is folly, and I would be a fool to chase it.
Yeah.
That's what the Proverbs tell us, right? And so we have to hold on to these creedal statements. 1 Corinthians, we have to hold on to that creedal statement. We have to hold on to the early book of Acts, where you see this early church just saying, like, man, we got to be different.
Yeah.
You got to hold on to the reality of Jesus saying, sin and death don't hold you anymore.
Yeah.
Which means we don't fear them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
We deal with it.
Yeah.
Right? If you've got sin in your life, you deal with it.
Yeah, it still hurts. It's still real. Yeah.
If you've got death in your life around you, you deal with it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take away our hope.
No.
It doesn't take away the hope and the glory of the future, right? In Christ.
That's why you can be at a funeral and worship your heart out. I was at my cousin's funeral over 10 years ago now, and just, it was one of the biggest worship services I was ever a part of.
Yeah.
And I think people even came to Christ through his,
yeah,
through the witness, you know, yeah, and it, that's that peace that passes all understanding. Yeah. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Here we just, I just like last year I baptized a fellow on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
And by Easter he had died of cancer.
Yeah.
But he went on a journey where he read the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
Every day. He couldn't help but have it read to him, read it. He was, yeah, reading it over and over and over. And then, yeah, he became a believer.
Yeah.
And just God put that in him. Yeah. And his hope had transformed from medical systems and, yeah, money and all of the things that he was doing to try to extend his life to.
Yeah.
He just wanted to go.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go to be with Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done with daily bread. Yeah. I want eternal bread.
Yeah.
Right. And you have that reality. You see that journey all the time.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're a believer for a longer time, it's hard to hold on to that. It's hard to hold on to that passion, which is why we need,
we return to these
creedal, yeah, statements where we, yeah, just remind ourselves of the very, very basics.
Yeah.
And basic doesn't mean easy to understand,
no,
but basic means we're not yeah, letting it go. Yeah, exactly. It's, yeah, foundational. Right.
Well, and these early Christians throughout history, what did they, you just mentioned the Lord's Prayer. What were the three, you know, the creed, the,
yep,
prayer, and,
yep,
the commandments.
Yep. It,
all those three things gave the perspective, gave, yep, this Christian worldview, like whatever else is going on, this is the God I believe in. This is the body that I'm a part of,
yeah,
as the,
yeah,
church. This is his law given to me. Not that I can accomplish it. Christ is the only one that can accomplish the law on my behalf,
yeah,
but those commandments give us a clear picture of how God wants life to be lived. This,
yeah,
is how a life is best lived out.
Yep.
It's probably good for you not to steal stuff, and probably good for you not to like lie.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
this is how to live life.
Yeah. And then you get like Sermon on the Mount and,
yeah,
and those spots where Jesus takes the commandments,
yeah,
and augments them.
Yeah.
Says, okay, well,
yeah,
here's the Beatitudes.
Yeah.
Well, here's like, if you're thinking about somebody,
yeah,
and you're thinking poorly,
yeah,
like you're an adulterer or you're, yeah, a murderer,
it's a hard
or whatever.
Yeah.
That's why you get into the New Testament and one of the most grievous sins that Paul is pointing out that we need to stamp out in the church altogether is gossip.
Yeah.
Because what is gossip? You're cutting people down.
Yeah.
Like almost always,
yeah,
you know, we don't gossip about the great things.
No.
Even when somebody has something good going on in their life and we gossip about it, we twist it so that it's negative because we would rather,
yeah,
see them brought down,
yeah,
than lifted up.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with our hearts, right?
Yeah.
And so then we have to keep coming back,
yeah,
and reminding ourselves, no,
yeah,
this is done.
Yeah.
Like Jesus,
put that to death.
Jesus died so that all of this can die,
yeah,
and it can go away so that we can live.
Yeah,
and right?
we can live with that eternal perspective now. That eternal perspective isn't just hiding out, waiting for heaven. That eternal perspective shapes how I live with my neighbor and,
yeah,
shapes,
yeah,
how I, you know, love God, love neighbor. That's shaping that.
Mm.
That's helping us to see how the gospel applies to the here and now. And
right,
we live with this hope, and we show people who don't have hope what that looks like.
Yeah,
or should be. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I mean. Yeah, rose again from the dead. Some of these, I look at them at first, and I mean, if you could see the table, we've got the Apostles' Creed on one single piece of paper,
yeah,
and there's just boxes drawn around the statements, how we were going to attack them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know how we got to these divisions.
Yeah.
We just kind of did it.
And
I want to keep going all the time, but I mean, we are looking at just the third day he rose again from the dead,
yeah,
today, so... I mean, we're flirting with the ascended.
Yeah, but they are all tied together.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where you start to just realize, you know what? We need to hold fast to like Ephesians chapter 1, 19 and 20,
mm,
right? His being God the Father's mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, right?
Yeah.
So we hold on to the reality that this was the plan.
Yeah.
We talked about it before, I think, in the Maker of Heaven and Earth, all the way back to the curses pronounced in Genesis 3 after the fruit was eaten in the garden, and this idea that there was a son coming that would crush the head of the serpent, that first promise of the gospel,
yeah,
someone to come save us. And we have to remind ourselves that we live in the in-between time,
mm-hmm,
of Jesus has ascended,
yeah,
but yet hasn't returned, right? When you read your Bible, there's this wonderful little space right before the book of Revelation, and that's where we sit.
Yeah.
We sit in that moment waiting for Jesus to return. The work of Christ is not finished. We're going to unpack that in the next few weeks, but just remember that, hold fast to it, and be encouraged with the fact that sin and death are defeated by the grace and mercy of God the Father through the work of Christ as the perfect sacrifice for us. So thanks for joining us for our conversation today. If you've enjoyed the podcast, you can always subscribe, leave a like or comment on our social streams, or even tell others about us. We appreciate any help in getting connected to people who are interested. As always, you can find us online at discipleship.ca and on Facebook and Instagram. Have a great day. Hope you can join us next time.